all my NBA street people should recognize. This was like, first of all, it's probably great, one of the greatest soundtracks of all time. Like, you never had to mute. I'm pretty sure I did start muting after a while. Just, you know, you play a game for so long. But volume 2, Street Volume 2, is one of the greatest hits PlayStation 2 games. So, like, you've been, like, you gotta be a real PlayStation OG to know about the NBA Street, especially Volume 2 days. But, I mean, not know about it, because I feel like it was popular, especially in my community. I know it was popular. But yeah, man, they had one of the greatest soundtracks ever. Shout out to EA Big. Oh, God, oh, they made some dope-ass games. But anyway, that's besides the point. Don't ignore this instrument.
Okay.
Don't ignore it, though, because it's awesome.
We just going to get right into it, huh?
Obviously. All right. I just wanted to give people a little breakdown of why MC Light. She killed this, by the way. First of all, that's the thing. They had like the songs with the lyrics and all of that, but they also had instrumental. And when I tell you that, like, you wouldn't get sick of them instrumentals. I don't care how many games I play, you couldn't get sick of the game either. Anyway, all right, I'm gonna get out of memory lane by NBA Street. No, that's not fair. The only reason why you saying please is because you don't relate to the NBA Street day. You didn't.
Wow.
You're a slave in front of a PS2.
That's a lie, but all right.
Your childhood. Did you say you play NBA Street?
Yes, babe. I played a lot of things.
Okay, that's how you get, like, cover a blanket statement, but don't really say nothing.
Moving on. We she started
didn't
say off. Nothing.
She didn't answer my question.
We started off.
I played a lot of
Tuesday
things.
Night NXT by having a 6-man.
First of all, it's NXT Street Super Fight. Tuesday. I'm not going to let you mess up their hashtag.
I told you I wasn't calling it that.
You're going to call it by their hashtag, okay?
NXT. Tuesday night NXT.
Hashtag NXT Super Tuesday.
Tuesday night NXT.
Hashtag. Tuesday night NXT just sound bad. So I see why they tried to. Hashtag NXT Super Tuesday.
It's nasty. Just stop saying it. So it was El Legado del Fantasma versus Breezango. And
one team decided to dress for a street fight. The other team decided not to. I'll let you watch. I want you guys to go look at the match and tell me which team dressed up properly. Who dressed properly?
The one that has alleged cartel implications.
Okay, first of all, we have no proof.
I said alleged.
We have nothing. We got nothing. All we got is like an allegation. That came from, like, a bad joke.
Anyway, Isaiah Swerve Scott finally gets to pin the champion, prolonging this feud further. And now we get why he's in this, because he was losing there for a while. And now he's back in it.
Yeah, it was a great match, by the way. They had fun. The fire extinguishers came out. First time seeing. Shout out to Triple H for giving us a unique stip. You know, 6 people in the street fighting. In a street fighting stipulation is very, very new to me. And so I appreciate whenever WWE pull out stuff that they don't usually do. So, you know, whoever decided for that, I agree with them. That was cool. The forklift spot, insanity. Like, jumping off a forklift and, you know, that being close to the finish. And Imperium coming out and, you know, the numbers game that the heels had on their side and the babyface is still prevailing. It's definitely a big victory, and you're right. It makes all types of sense why Fandango. I mean, now not really, but it makes sense again. Like I said, it makes a little bit more sense why Isaiah and Fandango are together. It's not just, you know, common enemies. They seem to, seem to have formed a bond to take out this crew. And you know, so, like, that's fine. I can take that, especially when they're going to work together the way they did in that match. That's all I'm saying. At first, it was just like they got the same problem with a person, and that's why they lost their regular 6-man. But they kind of worked together a little bit better in this match, even though they left Tyler out to die for a while until they decided to jump off that forklift. Anyway, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I was surprised, too, by the way, by how much I enjoyed that match. So it was really good. And You say prolong. I say finally Isaiah's going to maybe get a fair swing at the title without, you know, any outs. But I don't think they're going to book two cage matches. We'll get to that later.
All right. Then we had a whole bunch of promos. So Tegan Knox did a promo talking about how her and Candace were the best of buds. And how they took care of each other on Independence and all that sappy stuff.
Yeah, it's just a continuation kind of what they did, I think, the week before with Candace.
Yes. So that sets up Casey Catanzaro versus Candace LeRae. And you said during this, they had Candace fight someone smaller than her.
I feel like they've done this exact same match before when they first turned Candace heel. And they needed to get someone that she would be or wrestle or someone who would make her look imposing and more evil. You know, especially with the way the finish went. I know I've seen that done to Casey before, so I'm not sure if I'm not sure if that's something that's, you know what I'm saying. I'm sorry, I got an email and it messed up my mind almost. But anyway,
it could be out there. Yeah, I'm not. It could be out there on the internet. I just don't feel like looking for it.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, I'm sure that it was something that I had seen before. If not with Candace, it was with someone else who dominated Casey. But anyway, Casey, in my opinion, has improved. Like I said, this is the same gear that her and Caden was wearing in that tag team match a few weeks back that I liked. So. I can see that, you know, she's getting it down. And, like, even I told you, she seems to be putting a little bit of muscle on because she was even smaller. Or maybe my eyes are deceiving me. Either way it goes, she did great, you know, selling, putting over Candace. And, you know, Candace, you know, invited Tegan to dinner afterwards, you know. So, obviously, they're going somewhere with this Candace LeRae and Tegan Knox feud. And we're just going to have to continue to see. This one thing I will say about NXT, they seem to lean on their women, you know, even on nights like this when you know most of the show is going to be taken up by the main event scene. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I like that they were smart enough to still, I think, two or three. Or, I know two segments in a row, right?
Mm-hmm. I think... shoot. Rhea Ripley came out.
You mentioned the Rhea Ripley promo, yeah.
No, it's next. Rhea Ripley came out.
No, she didn't. She was just backstage. Nobody came out. Now one of them came out.
When I say came out, I don't necessarily mean come out to the ring.
Okay, you said came out. Well, all right, so what do you think? If I thought that, what do
you think the viewers came out and challenged and saying they just decided to say it. It's fine. Colloquial terms. Anyway. Rhea challenged Mercedes Martinez to a steel cage match.
Yeah. And Mercedes said, "You want to be in the cage? Come on, let's fight." They kept it simple, both of them. And I don't know when it's going to be. I think it's next week or something or whatever. Really? Yeah, either way it goes, you know, it's going to be good. I think that's funny because they haven't even did a regular singles match. So it's kind of weird to start off in the cage. But, you know, I understand it with the Rob Stone brand being in effect. And we've seen already Mercedes kind of interfere. So maybe that's the logic behind it. But interfering in Rhea's match in the past. So maybe that's the logic. But either way it goes, obviously, I'm happy about it. And I like the fact that they necessarily don't need promos or whatever to get it going. They've done what they need to do and just off straight up being badasses who fight. That's the story here because they want to fight each other. So that's pretty cool. And Apollo seems to be liking this angle too because he had nothing to say before that. So
apparently
he wants to talk about Rhea Ripley and Mercedes.
Apparently. Let's go on a tangent here for a moment and then just complain. Bronson Reed is no longer the thick boy. He is now the colossal.
Yeah, I don't know if that's – I don't know if he's always been it. I haven't heard him being announced as dead, and I haven't seen the little logo before. To be fair, I haven't really noticed it, and he's not wearing his gear with the Thick Boy logo, and it doesn't really matter to me.
He lost.
You know, it doesn't really matter to me about that as much as it matters to where, like where he's heading. And as far as it looks like, look like him and Austin Theory's storyline is continuing, and they're obviously going to be butting heads at some point. So maybe even next week, or maybe even sooner than you think, knowing Triple H, because he usually have a pretty quick turnaround when it comes to these situations. But I like Bronson Reed in the ring, and anytime you're in the ring with Tim Thatcher, I love the fact that it doesn't matter whose Thatcher is going to wrestle, he is going to try to tear your shoulder up. And it's great to see that he's just absolutely relentless and consistent with that type of style. Anyway, Austin Theory, of course, gave him some type of bulldog maneuver or something, and that, you know, that was enough to open up the Bronson Reed's arm, which was being worked on the entire match. Fujiwara armbar, and that's it. You know, nothing.
Was this a number one contenders match?
No. If it was, they mentioned the North American title because they said Thatcher was interested, and obviously Bronson is interested, but they didn't explicitly say number one contender. So
are we possibly gonna get Thatcher versus Damian?
Definitely probably. That's what's next. It looks like he's next in line.
All right, moving on to the main event of Tuesday evening.
And what a main event it was.
It was for the North American Championship Iron Man match. Finn Balor, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, and Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, and I was thinking about going through each fall. But, I don't know if I want to do that as much anymore. I know Finn was first. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, Tommaso Ciampa... No, Gargano had second because Tommaso Ciampa hit his finisher on Adam Cole, I believe it was, or Finn Balor, whichever one of the other ones it was. Gargano.
Balor.
Okay, Gargano kind of, got Ciampa out of the way, took his fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ciampa, after that, got Adam Cole, I believe, or I don't know what order. I mean, I know either way it goes, it ended up being everybody had one fall.
So it was Finn Balor on Adam Cole, you said that Johnny Gargano on Finn after Ciampa's move, and then Adam Cole got his pinfall with the Panama Sunrise.
Yeah, he got the Panama Sunrise on Gargano. But Ciampa definitely got pinned
Adam Cole.
Ciampa was last. Okay, got it. So, yeah, he pinned Adam Cole. So now we're all tied. And then we get into this whole dramatic last 20 minutes. And by the way, they did go legit 60 minutes, and for those, by the way, that deserves a pop in itself, just being able to go that long. But these four guys are so good. I don't expect much less. That's how you know Ciampa and Gargano, even Adam Cole, and definitely with all these guys included, Finn, they have such a high bars like for great matches that putting them in a situation that you couldn't put other people in, they won't even get the credit for that. You couldn't put other people in this match. Some people couldn't go 60 minutes and be able to still have the timing and still be able to do this. So that just shows you what Triple H and what everybody in down in NXT feel about those guys. But anyway, besides the fact, we get down to the end where Finn hits a coup de grace on I think that was Gargano too,
Ciampa.
Right? Okay, this was Ciampa. Ciampa hit this nice superplex on Gargano, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Finn Balor jumps off. Coup de grace on him. We think Finn is going to win because it's right at the last second. Right down to like 10 seconds, I believe. Adam comes in, hits his last shot, and almost take too long because he's trying to turn Finn body over, and it was like he literally got the last 3 seconds of that match. So, yeah, that was unbelievable. It was a crazy finish. So it ended up in a tie, which is kind of a bummer, but I kind of give them a break when you get four guys wrestling like that for an hour. Like, yeah, I mean, they entertained me. I'm mad that it wasn't a decisive finish, and we got to do this again next Tuesday. At the end of the day, not the whole fade forward, but the fact that we have to do now a one fall to the finish, sudden death, Adam Cole versus Finn Balor for the NXT title. You know, I'm cool with that. I really am. But, like I said, the tie does definitely put a little bummer on it.
Yeah.
When you're playing the whole show around.
So they're just going to have a regular match next week. Hey, they yeah. said they said sudden death to hype you up, but that's just a regular match.
Yeah, but it is important. I see why they're saying that. It can be looked at as more important than a regular match, though.
I get it,
they call it Super Tuesday, so why would they half ass it on the main event?
Ugh, whatever.
You know they're gonna be extra. They gotta make it sound like a big show, babe. At this point, we should know. Okay, they pulling ratings
on Tuesday. Let's move on to AEW. Do you have some transition music? No, I don't know why I expect that from you now. I should know better. We started off the show. That was trash.
I don't care if it was trash. Apparently nothing would have been trash. I get demeaned. Oh, I don't even know why I asked you anymore.
I don't. You never have transition music. So we started off Wednesday night Dynamite.
Really? You play the MC Light beat without you looking at me like don't get us too.
Wednesday night Dynamite. And
why would I need more music is my question. That's all I'm saying.
The Best Friends.
You got no explanation.
Took on Santana.
See, she got nothing to say.
I keep trying
she
to move
is wrong.
On.
It's nothing to move on from. I asked you a question.
Yo, you should know who was the first folks to open up the show. Just something. You know, give me something. What was pre-production for?
Nothing, because you didn't mention none of this.
That's
why I be trying to tell you. You have poor pre-production because you don't mention anything.
I thought we were like right here. Y'all can't see me, but like we were right here. And we're not. It's fine. All right. So the Best Friends took on Pride and Powerful. Proud and Powerful? Yeah. Santana and Ortiz. Thug and Ruffian. Whatever you want to call them. So if you remember, they got beef because Santana and Ortiz took several blunt objects to Trent's mother's minivan. And then they said they're not going to apologize. So a brawl ensued.
Botchamania alert, by the way. I just want to talk about that referee at the end of the match. I know I'm skipping a whole lot of goodness. Like Chucky going through that chair thing that he set up, by the way, Chucky, wrestler, stop setting stuff up.
Pile of chairs.
Anytime you set it up, it's over. You're going through it. So just stop setting it up. By the way, Santana Ortiz, always great and dastardly. And Ortiz letting everybody know what he did with Sue. Disgusting, brother. You shouldn't do that. Anyway, but like I said, I want to get to the botch to where we get to towards the end. And, Beretta hits the dude buster. And, the ref counts to 1, 2, 3.
No, he didn't. He was getting in position on that.
That first one counted as one. I don't care what you say.
It did.
He tapped. He put his hand up. Tap, tap.
He slid. You ever seen the ref slide? It was two.
It wasn't. Anyway, why do you think J.R. Newell was confused?
Exactly.
Like
they
I said, they counted. They counted three, 1, 2, 3, and then he wanted to point at the knot put on the. By the way, the hand or whatever that Santana was not on the ropes.
It wasn't.
So explain that then. Why the pin had to stop? Why he stopped the count?
He botched.
If the man went on the ropes. Okay, there you go. Botch. Anyway, they win. They did the real finish, which was pulling out the whatever that is, the Punishment Martinez. That's what I'm gonna call it. That's what it looked like. Like that little skinny pipe-like thing that he used to carry around when he was being all slimy. And they hit Beretta in the back, hit the street sweeper, match over. So I know I focused on the botch, but it really was a good match up to that point. So I'm kind of bummed out that this feud don't seem to be translating to All Out. Like maybe that this is all we're going to get out of this.
Maybe.
But they were fighting again, so it looked like they're going to end up in the Casino Battle Royal. So, take with that what you will. You know, I kind of would like to see the Best Friends spotlighted in another match, but, you know, the Battle Royal seems to be a spot where a lot of these other angles will be, teased or taken forward in. So, Can't wait for Saturday, I guess. That's basically what I need. What this whole show is about. Wait for Saturday. That's what this is about.
Get from under there. All right. So next up, we've got the Young Bucks for Jurassic Express versus SCU and Private Party. Now, the winner of this match go on to face each other at All Out. So we kind of already figured that the Young Bucks would win. Because, I mean, they got to be on the show, right?
Yeah, the Bucks were very, very pissed. I really liked it. I like their story. I like how they weren't really even on Jurassic Express mm-hmm. side. They were very, very aggravated, obviously because of, you know, issues from last week with Hangman, mm-hmm. most likely, obviously having something to do with that. So they didn't even really like Jurassic Express tonight, or they definitely didn't celebrate with them when they won. Jurassic Express, who actually, in my opinion, took a lot of heat in this match, but also when Luchasaurus got in this match, the match kind of changed. So even though the Bucks, I think, end up with the finish, the Bucks, like I said, their attitudes and that said it all. Even also, it didn't seem like anybody. I kind of liked the dynamic of this match. I guess they all knew they'd be fighting each other mm-hmm. at All Out, because even Private Party and SCU were kind of arguing with each other. You know, SCU was, you know, giving Private Party like certain types of tags and like, you know, show me what you got. You know, they were being all, you know, aggressive with each other. So, you know, that was a nice little dynamic in that tag match. But of course, like you said, we knew that the Bucks side probably had the best chance to win because of, you know, just it will be really surprised if the Bucks missed All Out. So, it, you know, but that match was pretty cool. And again, now what happens to Private Party and SCU? All day Casino Battle Royale is only going to be, what, 21 people or however many people they said mm-hmm. in the match. So, you know. We'll see. Private Party may be left off the show completely, and that sucks if that's the case.
Yep. I'm trying to see if I'm missing a promo. I don't think so. When did MJF do his promo? Ah, I see. Never mind. Don't worry about that. Then we had Chris Jericho versus Joey Janela.
Jericho did a great promo before this, by the way.
Yeah. Why Sonny and Joey got to get beat up here?
Joey didn't have a chance, I don't know. He needed some baby faces. That's why, because the way you feel about Sonny, like, that's why they want those people need to get beat up so Jericho can look like a bad, look even more like a jackass or even more like a bad guy. And he gets more heat, and then Orange Cassidy does what he does at the end of this segment. So if you don't know, Joey Janela did not have a chance. He did not win. He didn't even get close. It was pretty much Brody Lee style, a Brody Lee style beatdown. And you know, I have no issue with that. It was what it was. Joey Janela sold well, so it seemed like to be good business for everyone. But of course, the beatdown afterwards led Sonny Kiss to make an appearance, and it was cool to see that. I love the fact that Jericho bumping and, you know, fighting, and even, you know, just think about this. Sonny Kiss, somebody who at the beginning of the show, when the show first launched way back in October, whatever, when the crowds were here, barely seen, now in the ring with Jericho. So that's pretty cool. But anyway,
yeah.
The thing is also about this segment is obviously that this is all about Orange Cassidy
and the Mimosa Mayhem
and Chris Jericho. And so, of course, he makes his appearance. Jericho flees, you know, in anger again, obviously, but it was a cool segment. Another reason why I say can't wait for Saturday, because that's exactly all they did. They tried to give you a little teaser of what you want to see Saturday, and I think that's basically what this show was. And this was just another segment that teased a big match from Saturday night.
Yeah, I'll do that at the end. I'll do that at the end. After that, we had Thunder Rosa, come on now, thank you, versus Serena Deeb.
Yep,
I was about to say Dweeb. I don't know why.
Veteran in this business, by the way.
Classic job match, because they promoted it how they always promote them, saying Thunder Rosa will be in action.
Yeah, well, they had to get her. Not only do they not want her first match, if she wins the title, or if she was supposed to possibly win it, they didn't want her first match to just be against Sheeta. So I can see that. And Serena Deeb is somebody who's been wrestling all over the world for a long time. A name that I've been familiar with for forever in women's wrestling. So why not? And then also, it's just a great opportunity, again, to show people who may have always heard of Thunder Rose or may have always seen her in Lucha Underground, but never seen her in the ring. But if you're like me and you've seen her a couple of times before this, or you have a history of watching her perform, this was right down her alley, and it was a pretty decisive victory. But it was also the right move because we, like I said, familiarize people with Thunder Rosa and also get her a win under her belt before she gets this big title match, you know. So it don't look like, she just gets a debut in a spot better than, you know, some of the women who's always been who've been there. So, yeah, I can't wait for the actual match. So
I agree. All right. So next up, we had MJF doing his promo. I don't think that was a promo. I think he was really just bullying. I don't know what that man's name was. Mark Sterling.
Whatever it is, he's the lawyer. I'm just gonna call him.
MJF is terrible. He really is.
Yeah, but that promo wasn't. It's what I expected.
He's just a bad person.
But he also kind of gave you a teaser into what was coming later because he kind of showed a little bit more of his aggressive and twisted side. You know, he was threatening the lawyer with, you know, if you play around with what I want, you know, this happened, that happened. So, yeah. So he's just a little, again, another teaser, another little thing. Not only for Saturday, but this also was a teaser for what was to come later tonight.
Yep. So next up, it was Jon Moxley versus Mark Sterling, the lawyer. So Sterling was forced to come to the ring because if he didn't come to the ring and participate.
Before that, by the way. What? Because I know you want to mention this. Big Swole got put in what do they call it? But anyway, Britt Baker's finisher, when she put her, the Lockjaw, I think it's called. Yeah, Lockjaw. So, yeah, exactly. She had a whole promo with Shivani out in the crowd.
She did.
And, you know, and then Britt Baker makes her appearance because that's when I found out that match is going to be in the buy-in, which is something that I really wanted to talk about. Also, you also skipped Kenny Omega's promo with Hangman, which is probably my favorite segment of the whole night because I got to see Kenny talk. Like the cleaner. So I just want to touch on those things. Kenny Omega.
I really thought it was more matches than it was.
And then you got to
was.
See how twisted. No, it wasn't. It wasn't really that many matches. I told you Dynamite was all about the storytelling to get you ready for the buy-in. They didn't want to give away anything. So,
All Out, yeah.
Not the buy-in. I mean, All Out. Not buy-in. But the buy-in also. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like I was saying, to get back to the Kenny Omega segment, I just love anybody who's been watching him from New Japan days. They can tell just by his cadence that he was channeling a little bit of that cleaner with some of the stuff he was saying. The cleaner has supreme confidence in itself because he is the cleaner. So if you know anything about the when Kenny starts to kind of go into that tone, you know, instead of being kind of like the way he's been so far in AEW, unsure, you know, kind of, you know, friendly, tentative in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now he seems to be confident that they're going to defend their titles because they're the two best wrestlers in the, you know, they're the two best wrestlers out of the two teams. And I like that. I like that logic from Kenny. I like how when they came out to offer him some chocolate milk, he turned it down and was ready to fight. I even like Hangman appearing and kind of seeming to realize that FTR was only playing with his head. And, you know, maybe he's out of the elite now, but maybe he can channel some of that to FTR. But honestly, I can't wait till we get to these little predictions because I think every day that we've been shown about them so far just seems like it's going to lead to their downfall when it comes to All Out because everything, like, just screams, all right, Kenny needs to go do his own thing. Hangman needs to redeem himself somehow. Like, that's what it screams in this storyline. But I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know if Kenny's going to be the one to turn because the way that segment is, Hangman was just standing there alone holding the two tag belts. So, I really like the imagery of that segment, even though it wasn't that long and it wasn't, like, the greatest promo segment in AEW history or anything. But it was still great storytelling.
Right.
And then also, like I said, Big Swole, finally, we get to see Britt Baker finally looking like she's able to get in the ring and move around. So that's a great thing. Got to give that a pop. great to see that because I know she had a rough, you know, pandemic. She had a rough pandemic when it comes to injuries. Right. You know, the nose thing happened, you know, and now, you know, we like we talked about weeks ago when it took place, that knee injury. So great to see her back, and we've been waiting for her in this swole thing to take off. I guess I'm kind of happy because, well, even if I decide to buy the pay-per-view or not, which I am, but if I decided to buy it or not, I could watch her because they would be on the buy-in. But at the same time, I'm not happy because they've been giving us months and months. They put more store into that than the women's title matches that Sheeta has been going through, and it's only in the buy-in. The women continue, in my opinion, to get the shaft. Now, I know it's probably, you know, reasons beyond and whatever the situation is. I know it's reasons for it, but I'm just saying that it still sucks. I should be able to call them out for it without the AEW fanboys and girls telling me that I'm wrong about it.
I legit see a match that could have been switched out for them to make them room on the main card. So.
I know the Bucks and Jurassic Express could have. Yes. Could have been switched out. That's another last minute match. Also,
Dark Order versus
I don't mind that match though, because at least that one have the Cody element of it. Like they're trying to get revenge for that's the one they showed that beautiful video package for, which I let slide because they get revenge for Cody. This is the Dark Order. I don't know who's in the now that also make it depend if it's some of these members who we know.
It's not Evil important. Stu and Colt with Brody.
Oh yeah, then that's a match that I understand putting on the main card. That's about Cody's situation, and it's also the main the guys who we know probably won't. It's gonna be hard to beat from the Dark Order. I would say that,
I guess you don't want to give that one away for free.
But yeah, I can see them not wanting to give it away. But
my theory, but I see what you're saying too. It's not a title match. Yes, it'll be a good match to get people to buy it too. Like you got to think about that. You want the buy-in to try to get people to buy your.
And I guess that's what they're saying. Breed and Swerve can do, which is cool. Swerve and Swole seem to be the theme of these two. They seem to be all over these shows at the beginning of them. Sorry, I see how I got that mixed up. That's not a bad one. Like I can keep that. I can keep that one in here and not feel bad about it. Anyway,
let's move on. Let's go.
But yeah, now we get to the main event. But I really needed to highlight that because those are important things too. Because I didn't want them to be in the buy-in, so I definitely need to get that out. And Kenny Omega's promo was like I said, probably my favorite part of the show. So
I'm shaking my fist. Y'all can't see me, but I'm shaking my fist at the people that I get these notes from because they don't tell me everything. But good catch, co-host.
Co-host.
Then we had Jon Moxley versus Mark Sterling. Like we all knew was going to happen. He got to get his paradigm shift itch scratched. So old dude Mark, took it. You know, after being beat up for a while,
and he's wearing the worst gear ever. Worst gear ever.
Yeah, so, we didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't even really watch it.
I didn't even waste a fashion corner on that.
Honestly, I didn't even want to watch it. Worst gear ever. Moxley beat him easily as he should have, but the meat and potatoes of this segment was the beatdown by MJF.
Yes.
It was very, very brutal, bloody. He was in a wife beater, so that automatically make you more imposing.
Nasty.
Yeah, you nasty now. You disgusting. Anybody beating up somebody in the wife beater, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and think about what you're doing with your life in the wife beater. I want you to look at yourself in the mirror in the wife beater.
With the blood on
With the blood on your hands and on the wife beater and just think about what you're doing with your life. Anyway, I'm serious. But anyway, yeah. Again, one of those appetizers for All Out. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those nice ones. And, like I said, MJF, I agree with them. Never looked like that since I've seen him. So he really looks like a threat for the first time after sitting around in that neck brace and acting like the paradigm shift killed him. You know, he really looks like a threat now. So I think this is the best, you know, heel Moxley's had the luxury of facing so far on his run. So
the best built up heel.
Yeah, he's probably the best one. Excuse me, crap. Burping. Oh my God. But anyway, he's probably the best one in the company.
Gonna cut that out.
Yeah, that's the plan. But yeah, he's probably the best one, obviously, with record and just like promos, all of that in the company. So, you know, I was ready for the match before this. This only made it, you know, even better. So
exactly. All right. So let's go into our
all out predictions.
Yep. All right. I'm gonna take an old school booking stance.
We're gonna keep
it
simple. We're gonna keep it simple.
So first off, it's Britt Baker versus Big Swole in the buy-in. It's going to be a tooth and nail match.
Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, that's another thing. She said she's going to her job, so it's probably gonna be cinematic in a way, or at least like a false count anywhere match at the little dentist setup they got somewhere, maybe.
Adorable.
So, as a matter of fact, they could use that same little area they shot the Britt Baker role model promos. So maybe maybe heading that way. So that would, now that I think about the stipulation, that does make me wanna use. I could use that as buy this if it's crazy enough.
Yeah,
I can see that. But anyway, speaking of that, by the way, even though I want it on my main show, I think. Big Swole's definitely, I think that's where you're heading with your old school booking. And that's exactly where I'm heading to, not just because of old school booking, but mostly because if it is on the pre-show, another benefit of that is, not saying that you won't buy it if a heel win, but, you know, it'll make you feel even better if Swole prevails and it gets you kind of hyped. At like six, she's really good at that, by the way. Really good at...
She is. She's getting, a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, she's very, very good at that, so... You know, you get that over, when you get that in, she wins the match, she gets her revenge for all the, you know, the mess Britt been talking. And that storyline doesn't have to be over, because Britt, this is Britt's first time actually, you know, being physical with her. That's how the beauty of their rivalry, by the way, is that it's still kind of hot to me, even without being allowed to touch for so long. So, yeah, sorry, I talked about that a long time, but I'm choosing a Swole.
I agree. Definitely choosing Big Swole. Then we've got Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express.
Probably the match I'm the least hype about on this card. No offense to the people involved, because we all know Jungle Jack, as JR is going to call him, is going to kill it. And we also know the Bucks of Youth are going to kill it, of course, with the dinosaur who's like 30-something thousand years old.
64 million?
Oh, he's 60 million billion? Years old? Why is he so old? Anyway.
Because that's... babe, oh my God. I didn't take dinosaurs class for you to ask me why somebody's 64.
That's how long ago dinosaurs was here?
Yeah, babe. 64 million years ago.
In the millions?
64 million years ago.
Why ain't nobody tell me that?
They did teach you that.
No, they didn't. Wait, I know so I know it was before we was here. I know it was before people were walking around. But I didn't think it was in the millions from now. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I didn't know it was millions of years ago. Factually, I'm not arguing nothing. I can't speak on nothing like that.
Yeah, the 64 million years ago was the exact like time frame of the mass extinction event. That's
wow. Okay, all right. Okay,
moving on.
Well, I don't remember. Who you picking? They didn't emphasize that.
Who you picking?
See, this is Louisiana public school education right here. They did not emphasize the 64 million.
I years ago, about it. Did you watch Land Before Time?
Oh, see, here you go. Now you finna get me canceled. No, I hated the Land Before Time. God. It was most boring.
Did you watch the dinosaur
intro
movie?
Ever.
Did you watch the dinosaur movie?
That also told you about the million a year? No, I didn't watch it.
Did you?
No. I've never seen any other dinosaur thing. I used to have this this book, though. Book. And it just showed you every type. A dinosaur, and it had drawings and stuff in it.
But they didn't tell you that they went extinct 64
million
years ago?
I'm pretty sure
it
had words, too, but I don't look at the picture. I was a child. Oh, God. I looked at the pictures.
We're off track. Who you picking? Does it matter?
The Bucks of Youth.
I'm picking Jurassic Express.
And the Bucks of Youth going to win in a very heely way.
Sure, of course they are. All right, then we've got Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara, a broken rules match. If Matt Hardy loses, he must leave AEW altogether. When you got stipulations like that, I don't want Matt to lose. Right? But I think Matt gonna lose.
Matt Hardy winning.
Sammy doesn't have the best record. You know, I'm scratched that. Matt Hardy gonna win.
Sammy got that victory the other week. Matt's gonna get it back. I know AEW is not WWE, they're not going to 50-50 book everything, but this just feels like a time where you should 50-50 book it.
Right, right? And it's a broken rules match. So that means we're going to get costume changes, all types of foolery.
Exactly. That's my point. So it just seems like a matching week. But we'll see.
Exactly. Then we've got Dark Order versus Matt Cardona, Dustin Rhodes, QT Marshall, Scorpio Sky. I'm picking Dark Order.
Yeah, the Dark Order is going to win. And that's why I kind of can understand what you were saying about putting it in the buy-in, because I think that's probably the problem with this match, is that the result is probably already obvious. Mm-hmm. But I didn't mind it because the video package actually was pretty cool. I liked the way they explained it. I wasn't really even expecting this match to get this spot. But you know, I'm not mad at it. Either way it goes, I think, like you said, Brody Lee, and the Dark Order, yes, Colt Cabana, you are in the Dark Order, will prevail.
Yeah. Then we got the 21-man Casino Battle Royal match. I don't know who's in it. But I'm picking Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks is a good pick, especially if Moxley survives. So that's what I'm going to do. We're going to give two picks. I want to give a pick if Moxley was the champion, and a pick is if MJF shocked. If MJF shocked the world, I'm going with Darby Allin. Just because he's the hottest one in, the hottest babyface in there, and him and MJF would probably make a great opponent for MJF to get started with if he was to prevail. But since I think, which I'm kind of spoiled, I don't want to spoil now, but I just did. Moxley is probably going to win that match, in my opinion. So I can see Ricky Starks. Lance. We've been there with Brian Cage. I'm going with Lance Archer because I think Lance Archer is definitely the obvious pick. Eddie Kingston could sleaze his way into it. I don't see him winning the entire thing, though. His team is going to win a lot. I think the Lucha, I think they're going to get rid of a lot of people for him. You know, and they're going to end up probably towards the end. But I think Lance or something will happen. But we'll see. We'll see how the match is completely put together, because honestly, it's way too many heels in this match.
It's a lot. We didn't have any baby faces step up.
Well, like I said, the best friends eventually came SCU? Out there. But that's after. Did they come out there?
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see Saturday on who's actually in the match. So this pick could change.
We'll tweet it.
Or whatever. And even if it don't change, you guys hear what we think about it now. I think those are good picks anyway. Ricky Starks, Lance Archer, Darby Allin. I think those are good picks.
Yep.
Those are good picks.
Alrighty, so then we've got Sheeta versus Thunder Rosa.
Okay, so I told you guys that I wasn't really sure a weeks ago when they decided what they would do. Sheeta, even though she's a great champion and great in the ring, and I think AEW likes her, they haven't really done a lot storyline wise with her since becoming the champion. So to be clear with you, her losing to Thunder Rosa is not really that far fetched. No. But I'm going with Hikaru Shida because I think that's the move that you should make. I think this would be another big victory, another thing that can make Shida more of a big deal as a champion. Now, if you have something guaranteed from Thunder Rosa, that means that you're going to necessarily be able to have her around, more dates that you may want her to do, then maybe you do give her the belt. But I don't know. I don't know how long term this is. And I'm not saying she couldn't be NWA and AEW. There's plenty of multi-promotional champions. So I wouldn't mind it either. Thunder Rosa is that good, but I'm going with Sheeta.
I agree. I'm picking Sheeta. I feel like AEW has fallen in the same hole that they fell in with Riho.
It's similar.
Of like, we don't see our champion enough. We see her out in the crowd, that's fair. But we don't see her.
Yeah, that's fair. I was about to say, it's still, but at least Riho, the difference with Riho disappeared, like, was gone. You didn't see her at all. At least with Sheeta, like you said, you do get to see her in the crowd. You saw her in the video, the little video package that set up this match. I agree, though, but I think that's the women's division as a whole right now in AEW. They've been lacking as a whole in AEW.
They're giving Brandi a storyline.
That's a promo. So what?
That's true.
And that was a promo on Dark, too, by the way.
It's true.
Women, right. Yeah, they do have women's matches on Dark, plenty of those. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, on Dynamite, in that two-hour set, how much time are they actually spending on women?
What was that tag team tournament for? What are we doing now?
Like, the cup champions have not been on television since they won. So yeah.
Well, they've been there. They've just been in the crowd.
That don't count, man. That's not television to me.
Okay.
You are a crowd member.
Fair enough.
Exactly. Are a crowd member. You're not part of the show that night, if you ask me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, unless they pull you over the railing or something, or do the Tay Conti and come talk to you.
Moving on. So AEW World Tag Title Match, Kenny Omega versus Hangman and Hangman Page. I'm sorry. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page versus FTR. I'm picking FTR because I feel like this is going to set up that Young Bucks FTR match that we've been itching for.
Yeah, I think Kenny Hangman has done all they can do as champions. I think this is a fresh matchup. If they beat FTR, who's next? That's a big question you can ask because the tag team division, as good as it is, like I said, I feel like this incarnation of the tag team champions, as a matter of fact, they're just like the second team to wear the belt, mm-hmm. right? So they've done pretty much everything you can do as tag team champions so in AEW. So, yeah, I think everything is pointing to this being the end for Kenny and Hangman as champions, but only a new beginning as far as their character work goes. I can't wait to see what happens to their characters, whether it's on the All Out night or if it's on the next weekend Dynamite or the week after that. That's the beauty of pretty good storytelling, and I agree with you. It's obviously going to set up the Bucks and FTR at some point down the line, mm-hmm. but I don't think they need to rush it with that because, truthfully, the Bucks don't deserve a title shot. So I would think you guys are just forcing them. Even if you guys jump right into that feud now, you guys are going to lose a lot of that little credibility of not putting the Young Bucks in a lot of situations because a lot of people were giving them props for not overbooking the Young Bucks, not overdoing this and doing mm-hmm. that. Because they do have power in the company. But
when's the next pay-per-view? December?
I'm not sure exactly when, but I don't know.
I think it's December.
I think the Bucks have definitely on a collision course. They are on a collision course with FTR. Awesome. And but everything about this match just screams FTR's winning.
Yep, I agree. Then we have the Mimosa Mayhem match, which let's break down the concept. 80 gallons of little bit of the bubbly and orange juice along the side of the ring, and whomever gets thrown in it loses.
Yeah, but you also can lose by pin or submission. So okay. At the end of the day, somebody gonna end up threw in there, whether that's the finish or not.
I think
I'm assuming Jericho, because if Jericho wins, he said he's gonna throw, like, if he's gonna try to make him tap, he's gonna do this and he's gonna hit him with the Judas effect, he's gonna make him tap, then he's gonna throw his lifeless body into the blank, blank, blank. That's what he said.
I think Orange is gonna win.
So I think Orange should win anyway. Let him win the feud, let him get the in that series with the 2-1 victory, hopefully. I think that's what's going to happen. Do I have an explanation for why or even how? Because in this type of match, I don't know if it's any disqualification. Can the inner circle come out? I know at least one of them probably won't because he'll be hurt or preoccupied. So Sammy won't make it, but Hager definitely can come. He doesn't have any responsibilities that night that I know of. Man, like the second time that happened. Anyway. But yeah, like I was saying,
too much.
I talk too much.
Yeah,
that's what you think it is.
Yeah, like your lungs trying to catch up to your lips moving. So it's like I need to breathe, and they're stopping you from talking. Anyway, last up, I think you already gave your take on this AEW World Championship match: John Moxley versus Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Yeah, like I said, I think Moxley's going to prevail. It's going to be dramatic.
Old school Buck in here.
It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be nice and even. I wouldn't be surprised if it's very physical based on what MJF
a little bloody
has been doing. Yeah, it's definitely going to probably get some. We're definitely going to see some color here. But I think Moxley prevails. He's the champion. He's beaten everyone in every way. Not having the paradigm shift is not a handicap. I think he's going to find a way to win. But, hey, MJF, not only do I do think he will be AEW champion in the future, I also think that it's not that shocking or plausible that he wins this match. So I will say that, but I'm going with Moxley.
Me too. Moxley it is. All right. So that's about all of the all out stuff. Hit my button, please. Gossip Corner. All righty. So TMZ broke that Dana White said that he's interested in booking Brock Lesnar versus Jon Jones. But he doesn't know for sure because Brock might still be with, you know, WWE.
Yeah, I saw that. I never really was interested in that fight, even though I understand why MMA fans will be interested in it. You know, Jon Jones and Brock Lesnar, I feel like in that situation, Brock is going to definitely just try to wrestle. And take them down, but I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I want to see that.
I don't know how much I want to see it either. But they aren't. They, you know, if they sign it or if that was to happen, I know it's gonna do. At the end of the day, this is the goal. It may end up being. I don't think it's gonna be a good fight. That's the reason why I say I don't want to see. I don't think it'll be just fun to watch. I think it'll end. I think it has more of a chance to end up boring. But I will say this: they're gonna break all the pay per view records.
Oh yeah. So. WWE, according to WrestleVotes, WWE may be considering moving NXT off of Wednesday nights.
To what night? I
probably
asked.
Tuesday.
Okay. That's all I got to say about this. Okay.
I think it's because, like, the viewership spike on Tuesdays.
Yeah, maybe that's cool. And then not only that, I don't mind that. Also, I just want to say this, by the way, about that. That will be fine with me, you know, and maybe some AEW fans are going to look at it as like they're conceding and giving up, you know, the battle and all, whatever. I don't really care. It shouldn't be that much of a battle anyway, but even if it is, I don't really care about all of that, about, you know, that part of it. I'm actually happy if they separate because, you know, it'll stop a lot of this wrestling community toxicity that exists.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe it still won't stop it. Who knows? But either way it goes. You know, like I told you from the first place, if they didn't have to, they didn't have to do Wednesday in the first place. They could have left it alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they choose to go back, go to Tuesdays, that's fine. It doesn't really hurt much. Actually, it helps me out. Now, I'm not able to see Impact anyway. So I know a lot of people were talking about it was an Impact in NXT battle, but, yeah, so it wouldn't change much for me personally. But you know, I can see other people formulating their opinions off that.
All right, that's all the rumors that matter to me. So hit the button again. Gossip Corner. I do have one thing to plug before we go. ShopAEW.com is having a 20% off sale on all merchandise, whether it be face masks, t-shirts, memorabilia. So go on to shopaw.com, use the promo code all out, all caps, 20% off. I'm going to use it. Sale is from September 3rd to September the 7th. So take advantage of it. I mean, come on now.
All right. You should, man, we need to get a gig the way you promoting them.
I'm going to buy some shirts.
Gotcha. You just want somebody else to join?
Yeah.
Praise the word. All right. Well.
You're still doing this.
I'm still doing this. This is one of my favorite instruments of all time. I don't care what anyone says. Sue me.
No.
Okay, don't sue me. I'm broke. I'm just joking. Please don't take that. Anyway, I'm going to leave you guys with this. Stay safe. Love you. Adios.